welcome, everybody. It's time once again for the next chapter with Charlie Hedges. As he explores turning the page on his life and yours. Hey, Charlie.
Hi, Paul. This week in his blog, Sabbath Moment, Terry Hershey has been writing about the restorative power of brokenness. Terry writes this, "In embracing our wounds, they become sacred wounds because grace is alive and well in brokenness." It's paradigm shift time, he writes. Time to move from a project management view of life to a weighed-in view of life. Life in its brokenness is not to be contained, explained, or fixed. Love that. Terry writes so well. I really like the idea of moving on from a project management view of life. It's so much better to view life as an exciting and unpredictable adventure as opposed to a project. And as we all know, with adventure comes disappointment and messiness. And perhaps messiness is a key notion, and we will discuss that because messiness includes being wounded and broken. So with that said, let's bring Terry on the show to talk about the sacred wounds of brokenness. Yo, Hirsch, what's up, man?
Charles, how are you?
You're laughing because I quoted you so much?
Well, no, I actually like the quote, and it's fun when you hear yourself quoted and you don't remember saying it.
Well, you didn't say it, you wrote it, so.
Oh, good, yeah. Yeah, that's good. I like it.
So, you know, my first question, man, is, and as you've been writing on your website and on your post, you've been without a phone for 4 days, although it feels like a month. So I want to know, what's it like, really, what is it like going without a phone? Now, you know, obviously it's more than a phone. It's a camera and a email, an internet device, and, you know, who knows what all. You just don't realize how much time you spend on the phone, do you?
Oh, well, my phone died on Sunday morning, so this is my fifth day without a phone. Well, for starters, you panic because you're afraid you're going to lose everything on your phone, which is possible. I might not get any of that back. And even answering that question, I'm not sure whatever it is that I've lost. I mean, photos, which is big, but I don't know whatever else you lose. But then you go through, now this is day number five, and you realize, what did I need that thing for anyway?
Yeah, that makes sense, though. That makes sense.
Because then you realize, now, I have an app that tells me how many steps I take in my walk every day.
God, that's okay, important bingo. To know. That really is important
right.
to know.
Yeah. I can actually count them in my head now. Yeah. I mean, in other words, there's... Now, I do not have a... Oh, I can get a camera. I suppose I could do that. And there is the whole thing about how do you talk to somebody because you can't text or do a phone call. And so that's... And as you know... in the kind of people that we like to read, they communicated by writing wonderful long letters to each other regularly, faithfully.
Whatever happened to that? You know, even with you and I, we did it, and then...
We did that. We
for
did it,
how many no, years did we do it. That? Was it like 3 or 4 or longer than that?
What's that? Years?
How many years did we write?
Yeah, at least 3 or 4. But I think about that, ways to communicate. In other words... I get the emergency aspect of being available. I get that, but this is only recent in our history that we've had this device, isn't it? We were trying to decide that earlier before the show started. Is it 35 years or something when our first phone came out? Maybe.
I don't know. You know, I remember before cell phones, there were car phones.
Remember how big they were?
They were huge.
They were like a small football.
Do you remember the comedian, the Rye comedian? His last name was Wright. Who?
Yeah.
Stephen Wright. And he did a bit where he said, you know, he had just got a car phone. And, you know, he always spoke very monotone. And he says, I just got a car phone and I had to put on my message. because then we all had the message, you know, from our home phones. So he said, I can't answer the phone. I'm home now. So
he was brilliant.
Yeah, that was funny. So let's get into our subject. You've been writing on in your Sabbath moment. You've been writing about the gifts of brokenness and woundedness. And in fact, I'm going to quote you a lot today because I really went through your posts or blogs or op-eds or whatever we call them in a six-part series, and we're in week five, or day five starts tomorrow, and you write this. This week we will embrace the invitation of Easter, the invitation to befriend our brokenness, the invitation to be on the lookout for beauty and wonder, the sacred in the ordinary, the invitation to know in the end everything will be all right, and if it's not all right, it's not the end. I love that. What do you mean by that? I know I loved it. Now tell me, what do you mean in the end?
Well, the wonderful little irony of the history of that sentence is that it was said by a Brazilian poet many years ago, but the person who made that statement was John Lennon, because he used to always say it. Nah, it's not all right, it's not the end. Lennon used to always say it.
I've never heard that. Yeah. It's like Julian of Norwich's famous saying that all shall be well, and that came from 1400.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing about brokenness is just a paradigm shift about the way we even perceive that, because we live in a world that is not comfortable with things that are out of place, things that are untidy. And then when you add the religion of my upbringing to that, we were ashamed of those things or places you had to hide them. And so we live in a world that wants to tidy things up quick, wants to fix things quick. And a lot of it's not about fixing per se. There's certain things that need to be fixed, but it's not about fixing. It's about appearance. It's about the public appearance that I show myself to be, unbroken.
Yeah, and I remember a minister from a large evangelical church who was at the church that I was at, and he was the second pastor. He wasn't the founding pastor. And, you know, one of the things that he said, just he was so enamored with himself on this subject, and it was, I've never had a traffic ticket. I thought, you've never... This is what we're bragging about, is that, you know, I've never had it.
Well, I can top that. This week, I've never had a phone call.
You know, I'm thinking as we're talking here, and as I've been pondering this subject all week, and then especially today in preparation for the show, you know, I think it might be helpful to dive a little bit deeper into brokenness and understand what exactly do we mean by that? What do we mean by when we say we're broken? What do you have in mind as you're writing? You know, you've been pondering this very deeply.
Broken is just the parts of ourselves that feel, let's just say crippled. In other words, the parts that discourage us or infuriate us or repulse us or sadden us or embarrass us. In other words, they... and then we use the word should, of course. They're not as they should be. And some of those things, you know, we've made happen, but many of them we didn't make happen, but they're there. You know, and we watch in a world that things break, broken things happen. Every single one of us at some point look at ourselves and say, what do we do with those parts? And the beginning, here's, this is important. If we start with the fact that I have to do something with them to be okay, then we have an issue. If I don't see that those parts literally are a part of life and the world as we live, and that beauty and the invitation for wholeness can be there too, then that's what I was writing this about. Is that, I want people to be gentle with themselves. We don't realize the extraordinary gift of that. You know Frederick Buechner, of course, right?
Yeah, sure.
In one of his books about an Irish saint, Brendan was the saint's name.
But anyway, it was one of his novels, yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah. So Brendan's having a conversation with another priest who's, well, in my word, let's say he's crippled. He's crippled and here's the thing, he's completely bitter about it, see? The priest is, because of his brokenness, his, quote, crippledness, he's bitter. In other words, life should not be this way. I was reading this because I was thinking about writing this even for my blog tomorrow. And so I'll read it to you. He said, Gildas says, I am as crippled as the dark world. Brendan replies, if it comes to that, which one of us isn't, my dear? Gildas has but one leg. Brendan, sure, he's misspent his whole life entirely. I, who had left my wife to follow him and buried our only boy, the truth of what Brendan said stopped all of our mouths. He was as crippled as all of us. To lend each other a hand when we're falling, Brendan tells him, perhaps that's the only work that matters in the end. In other words, every one of us has that as a part of who we are. That's our life. There's a broken part. There's a crippled part. There's a sad part. There's a discouraged part. And yet, even there is an invitation. That's what I want to talk about today.
Yeah.
What's the invitation?
That is great. I'm thinking, does it come from having such high expectations and lofty ideals and lofty values, and when we do not live according to those, then we fall into guilt and shame? Is that the kind of thing we're talking about?
Yeah, but it's not just expectations. It's about where we park our ultimate value and worth.
Got it.
Park it. And in the culture we live in, our Western culture, we park it in perception very often. How we're to be perceived, or how we project that perception. And it's no wonder we put up a perception that, you know, because we're afraid to just say, this is who I am.
Let me tell you a story that happened recently and see if this doesn't fit into your concept here. Now, something that I have been improving on in the last couple of years, and it's something I've been intentional, when I say improving, I've been intentional about patience and listening. It's intent, you know, it's about patience, about not being judgmental, and about waiting. I loved this idea that I got from a little piece I read somewhere. It talked about the slow work of God, and that God is enormously patient and waits a long time to respond and act. And you know, we're wanting God to respond immediately. And then it's also patience with, but for me, it's patience with people, and patience that things don't always go my way. And then also the value of listening. I learned from my life coach, from Kameen Samuel. She is such a great listener, Terry. She will not say a word until she knows you're done talking. And if you ramble for 30 minutes, she won't say anything. She'll just wait and until you're done. And I've been working on that. So I had this experience with a family, another family where my wife and I got together with another family that we are close with. And I found myself, we differ in so many different things, and there's so many little personality issues that are going on. I found myself being totally impatient, totally incapable of listening, and that I would be interrupting. And you know, when we left, I was frustrated leaving. And then the next day, after thinking about it, I was so frustrated with myself that I just was so ashamed of myself that here I'm the one that's preaching and really trying to live according to patience and listening, and my behavior were exactly opposite. Is that approaching the kind of thing of brokenness that we're talking about?
But to your point, which is so true, is that the first reaction to our brokenness is shame, which is interesting. In other words, we put a moral price tag on it rather than an invitation, rather than saying, what does this invite me to do? What is the invitation here? What is the opportunity here? What is the gift? Actually, that's the one. What is the gift here?
Yeah, because you write a lot about that. Yeah, go ahead, please.
Put a moral price tag on our very worth or value without asking what the invitation is.
And what would the invitation be? Give me an idea of what we're talking about.
What would the invitation be for?
Well, let's take my scenario.
So here's a story.
No, tell me a story then.
Well, tell me your scenario and I'll tell you a story.
Oh, it's the one I just told you about where I was kind of a dick.
Well, okay. And then you just start there. And what's the invitation to that part of me? What does that invite?
Oh, are you asking me that?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Oh,
I'm saying it for all of us. What does that invite?
Yeah, you caused me to ponder. Yeah, what is it invited?
Yeah.
It invites, as you've been talking about, it invites a gentleness with myself.
Yeah, the whole point is you can't change anything until you can love it. And you can't love anything until you can know it. And you can't know anything until you can embrace it. In other words, it's a real part of you.
How do you love your brokenness?
Well, I don't know. God does.
He does, doesn't he? Yes, absolutely.
The whole point is God doesn't say I love you, but first, could you fix? There's a couple things you need to fix. There's a couple things you need to sort of work on. No, that's the extraordinary thing.
And that, unfortunately, is the way so many churches actually, or so many, I won't say churches, but pastors, you know, like the kind you grew up in, they sort of teach that model, do they not? That until you get yourself fixed,
100%.
God can't 100%. Love you or
that's
won't
the whole
love
thing
you.
About. Yeah, that's the whole thing about, I mean, even your thing about I was a dick. Okay, so we did things out of brokenness. And in other words, what you're saying is my brokenness caused me to act in a certain way. And I get that thing. And so there's a part of me that says, all right, let me embrace who that is. That part of me is still loved. But here's the deal. Any change that happens with that, and sometimes change is just the way I respond to it or react to it. But any change that happens with that is not for me to impress somebody else or to get out of shame. It's simply to embrace who I am. And in embracing who I am, I make choices that maybe are different now.
Yeah, I get it. You know, a couple of things are, gosh, like so many things are running through my mind, and so it may sound like I'm going on a different track, but it's going to fall right in line with what we're talking about. And in the 90s, you and I both read a book by Henry Nouwen that was called The Wounded Healer. I believe, wasn't that in the 90s, Terry, that The Wounded Healer came out? And I think it was almost a new thought for both of us, but maybe not so much a new thought as I think what he did, we always felt that, but it was a clarifying thought when he talked about the power of the wounded healer. We cannot be a healer unless we have experienced woundedness. And therein lies the gift, does it not? The experience of that allows us...
So we didn't talk about this, and I was writing my blog for tomorrow, which has a Henry Nouwen quote, which I will now read, because The Wounded Healer happens to be the book that changed my life.
Really?
Changed the way I decided to do ministry. So here's the Nouwen quote I'm using tomorrow. He said, "The great mystery of God's love is that we are not asked to live as if we are not hurting or as if we are not broken. In fact, we are invited to recognize our brokenness as a brokenness in which we can come in touch with the unique way that God loves us. The great invitation is to live your brokenness under the blessing. I cannot take people's brokenness away, and people cannot take my brokenness away. But how do you live with your brokenness? Do you live with your brokenness under the blessing or under the curse?"
Guy can write.
Well, because he knew from his own experience.
Yeah,
there are parts of his life that felt completely broken, and it was hard to talk about because he knew he would get hammered.
Till the day he died. Yeah, and it's just because we recognize the power of brokenness and the healing power of brokenness that he just wrote of and that you were talking about of God, don't assume that once you identify with that and you use that, that you are going to quit being broken. Oh, now that I know brokenness is okay, I'm going to be okay. No, you're not.
See, so that's the paradigm shift. The paradigm shift is if we assume that brokenness is a curse, then that it has to be repaired. Here's the story I was going to tell you a little while ago. So this is the one about there's a store that has a sign up. It's a little pet store. It says, puppies for sale. And so there's a little boy who walks by, and so he walks in and says to the store owner, how much are the puppies? And the store owner says, they're $50 each. And so the little boy, gets in his pocket, pulls out his cash, right? He says, "I've got $2.37. I look at the puppies. The store owner smiles, and so the mama dog, and it's like five little, furry legged balls of fur puppies, And then one of the five is limping and is behind the other four. And so the little boy says, "What's wrong with that little dog?" And the store owner says that puppy was born without a hip socket. And so the vet said, that puppy is going to limp for the rest of its life. And so, but there's the other four. But the boy's face lights up and says, "That's the puppy I want to buy." And the store owner, says, "You can't buy that puppy, But if you really want that puppy, I'll give him to you." And so the boy, it's like, "Why?" He's kind of annoyed. He said, "I don't want you to give it to me. I mean, that little puppy's worth every penny. I would like to give you $2.37 right now, and then I'll give you 50 cents every month until he's paid for." And so the store owner's going, "Young man, this puppy is never going to be able to run, never going to be able to jump, never going to be able to play like other puppies." So the little boy reaches down, pulls up his pant leg, and he reveals a badly twisted, crippled left leg that's supported by a big metal brace. And he says, "Well, I don't run so well myself." And that little puppy needs somebody who understands.
Holy cow, that's a great story. That reminds me, that is the gospel message, is it not?
And 100%.
I want to come back to that right after we take a break, and I want to come back to the gospel message in the power of brokenness. Hi there, this is Charlie Hedges, and you're listening to The Next Chapter with Charlie and my very special guest, Terry Hershey. And we are talking about his series that he's writing on currently in Sabbath Moment, which you can get at terryhershey.com. You can get Sabbath Moment. And talking about the power of brokenness and the gift of brokenness and how that can lead us to genuine and whole life. And Terry just told us a story of an uncrippled boy who purchased a crippled puppy because the puppy needed someone who could identify with him and love him. And it reminded me so much of the gospel story of Jesus that we tell in the gospel, the good news of Jesus suffering and understanding, feeling suffering to such a degree that God himself or herself or whatever pronoun we choose to use, God identifies fully with our suffering. Can you talk about that, Terry?
Well, that's that whole thing about there's no moral price tag on your ultimate value and worth. That's the power of that story. That little boy is saying, whether that dog can walk or not walk does not determine that dog's value. That dog, that little puppy means something to me. And that's the same thing with the gospel message. And we see it all through the gospels and every encounter Jesus has with anybody. I'm not going to put a moral price tag on what your broken issue is. I'm here with you right now. Right now. Do you know the Japanese...
Kintsugi, yeah.
Yeah, you know Kintsugi?
Yeah. I it's one of the very few things, Terry, that I wrote about before you did. I wrote, close to a year ago, I wrote about Kintsugi.
Yeah, it started, I don't know, way back in the 15th century. But
right.
It was one of those things where somebody had broken a really expensive piece of pottery and or whatever and took it into the person who put it together didn't put it together, but they put in all of the little where it was cracked, they sealed it with gold, or other kinds of precious sort of
it was gold. It was gold that was inside of not a glue, but
so it sealed it back
adhesive
together, so it
became a
bowl. But you still see the cracks, but the cracks are now gold. And so then it became, people started doing, I want that, whatever that is, that's what I want. I don't want a new one, I want that one. So now it's actually an art form to take broken things and realize that there's extraordinary beauty there. That's like that little boy to that puppy. There's beauty there. And that's back to your gospel thing. There's beauty. Before we put a moral price tag on, don't start with, there's broken there, or there's whatever there. No, there's beauty there. Let's start with the fundamental truth.
The beauty lies not just in the brokenness. It is in the brokenness and its continual cycle, that once a brokenness is repaired, doesn't mean that we're not going to find some other area of brokenness. But I remember being told that the same truth exists parallel between bones, broken bones and healed bones, that in that broken place that the bone will never break again, in that broken place, that could be storytelling, I don't know, but I've heard that. Have you heard that?
I don't know that.
That the bone is even stronger, and it's like a well, like a well of metal, and if it breaks again, if it was dropped again, that has been repaired by Kintsugi, it won't break in that same place. It'll break in another place.
That's the kind of thing that makes you want to drop it again, because then you get more gold. Yeah, that's great.
But that is, you meant that humorously, but that is true.
But it's all about the way I perceive when life turns left for any of us and there's brokenness of any kind. In other words, if I start with the fact that my very worth or value is demeaned or undermined here, then I have no wherewithal to walk through this process. In other words, I'm looking at the wrong thing here. Is something broken? Yes. Is my value less? No. Is my wherewithal less? No.
Our brokenness begins, it seems to me that you're suggesting, our brokenness begins with a false assumption of who we ought to be.
Well, the way we frame the brokenness, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, and so we think we should be somebody or something.
Correct.
We have some value that we put, that this is my value. When I'm living there, then I'm fine with the world and with my soul. But if I don't live there, then I am not fine.
Correct. That's complete. That sentence is completely 100% accurate. As long as I carry that sentence in my head about if this is true, then I can do this, then Lord have mercy. Literally, Lord have mercy.
And literally, he does.
Yeah, unfortunately, but we need to at least embrace it. What's the gift? My capacity to live intentionally is still available to me. My capacity to live with empathy and kindness and compassion is still available to me. You know, my capacity to reach out to those who still are struggling with the broken parts of them is still available to me. And as soon as I attach the word should before any of that, then I derail all of that.
Mm. Yeah, it does get derailed. That's perfect. Been praying a bit for a while, and I just had this morning, I had this insight, and, you know, I'm very cautious about saying God revealed to me, but, you know, it came to my consciousness, and it was about God, so I'm going to assume God revealed to me that the way I've been pursuing God has been formulaic, you know, and I'm just using that word right now, thinking, I'm sort of thinking out loud, has been formulaic, and I've been assuming if I do X, then God will respond accordingly. You know, if I pray in a certain way, and if I'm sure to read my Psalms and to read my Lectio Divina scripture for the day and do my journaling, then I'm opening pathways to God. And am I? Certainly I am. I cannot tag alongside of that the response of God when God revealed to me very clearly last night in a dream, which I won't get into the dream, and this morning, that my assumptions have been incorrect and that I need to, you know, sit back and frickin' chill and just let God be God and quit having all of my expectations of how if I do a certain formula of prayer and contemplation, then I will get closer to God. And there's a yes and a no in there. You talk about conflicting narratives. You know, I have my conflictive narrative between my desire to earn the love of God and my yearning to discover the love of God. And those are two very different narratives, earning versus discovering. Did what I say make any sense?
Yeah, of course, because it's about the paradigm. Because the paradigm is the big thing for me. It's the way we perceive. It's the lens we look through. And if the lens I look through in my prayer life, which I loved about what you said, is if my first prayer is, what do I need to do to attain what I've been working on, as opposed to what assumption can I let go of today that gets in my way?
That's powerful, Terry.
And so your whole story was exactly that. You just said, All right, I've shifted my paradigm. My prayer doesn't start with the sentence, what's next with the should on it? But my paradigm starts with the sentence is, what little thing can I drop today? In other words, every day we need to drop a little bit of something, because now we see it better. Now I see it better.
Holy crap. You know, this is, you know, sometimes I'm sorry, everybody, but I don't speak gospel language all the time, and I wasn't even think holy crap if I said what I was thinking. You know what I'm talking about. Didn't Jesus say exactly the same thing? If you want to gain, you have to lose.
Yeah, I mean,
and that's what you're talking about. Dropping assumptions. It's beautiful.
There's so much you're carrying here. I mean, just like that guy in the store with the little boy, he was carrying so much, the boy had dropped it all. I don't need those assumptions, right? That you have about me, the store owner. I don't need the assumptions you have about the puppy. I don't need those.
It's sort of like, you know, we wake up in the morning and we have, you know, I don't do this, but you know, it's often suggested, you know, that we have our daily goals, you know, our, what are we going to accomplish today and what are we going to do today? And it's always about adding something, doing something, repairing something, adding something.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, you go with that one, Charles. Why is it the goal is always an additional thing rather than a subtraction?
And that's what I think you just nailed and you just landed on, is not what do I need to do today, but what do I not need to do today? What do I need to drop today?
Now we're back to the I don't have a cell phone. Because that's a perfect illustration. And it's not just the thing. It's not a thing. But it's the way I perceive and the way I look at it. I don't look at this as a quote, disability, brokenness I'm talking about. I don't look at it as a disability. I look at it as an invitation. See, I mean, I believe that the sacred is alive and well in every moment, whether the moment is broken or not. What allows me to embrace that and see that?
That's why you called him. I don't know if I read it. I think I did read that early on in your early quote, that you talked about sacred wounds, the sacred wounds of brokenness.
Yeah. The other thing about brokenness is that it actually gives us a time out in some way and gives us an opportunity to say, wait a minute, what have I been so focused on that I've missed this?
Because if we are so focused on a pursuit, we can miss the mystery, and we can miss, what am I thinking, Terry?
Every back in the garden days when I'd go through the garden, if I was looking only at what was achieving, what was ahead of the curve, I missed all the little gifts along the way, you know, of beauty that weren't according to the calendar or the schedule or the clock.
I'm gonna kind of wrap up our time here, and this is my wrap up. Meaning we're still gonna have probably 5 minutes or more, but it just, we're winding her down. There's a couple things that you wrote that I'd like to bring up, and we can. That fit right along this, what we're talking about. And you wrote, and let us remember, in those places where life feels unresolved, broken, we must remember that wholeheartedness is still very alive and well. In that brokenness, we are alive and well. Like in the boy's crippled leg is where he found life and wonder. You think of the people, you know, I keep going back to scripture on this. It's just, you know, keeps hitting me, and that is where Jesus, you know, he didn't hang out with people that have it together. I mean,
I can't name one.
Not one. You know, you think of the guy that is so mocked is the by a lot of preachers on the conservative wing that is so made fun of is St. Peter. And because St. Peter was so human, for me, Peter was the model disciple, because he actually asked questions. And he would actually say, no, we can't do that. He was saying what he only said, what we all feel. And he actually had the guts to say it. And Jesus would tell him, and, you know, it's preached that Jesus would chastise him. But he didn't chastise him in my mind. He just corrected him. He just clarified and said, no, Peter, you're not getting this. The model for the Pope, for crying out loud, is the broken Peter. And you talk about a broken individual. He was a very broken individual, but he was the model disciple. A broken disciple is what Peter is. And
see, there's a good topic of conversation in the future is why. I mean, I agree with you, is that the whole point is about loved and brokenness, and why is it then we need to somehow repair that image so that that doesn't happen anymore? Wow.
So what is the, let's close it, and what is the suggestion? There's a crack in everything, and that's how the light gets in, says Leonard Cohen.
Right. Well, there's a guy named L. R. Nast who has a quote that I like to use, but he said, do not be dismayed by the brokenness of our world. All things break, and all things can be mended, but not with time. So go, whatever you do, love intentionally. Love extravagantly, love unconditionally, because the broken world waits in darkness for the light that is in every one of you.
Amen. Terry Hershey. And I love it when we're talking about, as listeners will see, we're talking about exploring things that we don't even know, that we don't know about. We know we're on an explorative journey, because the beauty of this is there is no answer to this. There's only discussion. There's only discussion and hope and love, and you help guide us into that. Thank you so much, my friend.
Thanks, Charles.
Okay, I want to thank everybody for listening to The Next Chapter with Charlie, and please check out our website and our blogs as well at thenextchapter.life, and give a shout, and I will be prompt to respond. And for all listening, until next, this is Charlie Hedges signing off. Bye for now.